So the reading from God's word is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 31, and it's entitled, A New Covenant. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all. Before I start, let's just pray. Father, I pray that you will take these words that I offer you this morning and use them to speak your word to everyone listening. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible near you, you might like to have it open at the passage that Paul just read, which was Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 36, just so that you can follow through the thread of what I'm saying this morning. We've been reading through the book of Jeremiah in morning prayer, and it doesn't make comfortable reading. Most of the prophet's accusations against Israel can be applied to the world today in terms of our tendency to rely on our own strengths and clever ideas and our failure to listen to God at all, let alone worship him. But the passage from Jeremiah we read today is hopeful. It talks of God making a new covenant with his people through which he will draw them back to himself. Now, the dictionary defines a covenant as an agreement between two people. For example, the marriage covenant. For this covenant to work, both have to agree to commit to it. In our passage today, God is speaking, and he's actually using the same example. Now, sadly, we know that sometimes marriage doesn't work out how we have hoped, because one or both break the agreement. And God says exactly that about Israel. He loves his people, but they have broken the covenant with him in the same way as a marriage might break up. But our God is all about relationship. God reached out with love, and Israel broke the covenant, rejected him and went their own way. And human nature has never changed. But thankfully, neither has God's nature. God never gives up running after us. So he will not give up on that promise to bring us into relationship with him. And so the new covenant restores God's broken family and heals the wounded relationship. Now, it says in the reading this morning, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people. And this passage from Jeremiah is also quoted in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. And the author describes it as a better covenant. Hebrews uses the word better again and again. All sorts of things are better. Why? Because Jesus has come and Jesus has made everything better. What am I going on about? To understand what was better about the new covenant, we need to know what the old covenant was. After leading the Israelites through the Red Sea to escape slavery in Egypt, God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, and we read in Exodus, "You have seen how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from all the peoples on the earth." God's covenant with his people was all about relationship. God loved them, but he is also a holy God. So he needed them to be holy too. Otherwise, it would be impossible to come into his presence and have that relationship with him. So God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And by obeying these commandments, they might become the holy people in relationship with God. But God knew they would be unable to keep these commandments. So he gave Moses instructions for an elaborate system of sacrifices, which made a way for them to receive forgiveness for their sins and be cleansed. And under the old covenant, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the most holy place, the presence of God, and sacrifice animals. They would be killed and the blood sprinkled everywhere for the cleansing of sin. But the problem was they had to do it again and again because they sinned again and again. But even that didn't work. Their sacrifices became detestable to God because, as it says in the Bible, they honoured him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. They were just going through the motions, so the sacrifice became meaningless. This dawned on David when he wrote Psalm 51. "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a repentant heart." So why was the new covenant better? Because the sacrifice was no longer an animal. It was Jesus. Jesus' blood shed upon the cross, that was the sacrifice. And this was once for all time. It didn't have to be repeated every year. And Jesus' sacrifice was so that all people might be forgiven and cleansed. And all people come into relationship with God, not just the people of Israel, us too. And Jesus is not only the sacrifice, he is also the high priest. He has ascended into heaven and makes intercession for us. He understands our weaknesses. He knows us, he loves us utterly and completely with all our sin, all our mess, all our mistakes. This is altogether better because it doesn't depend on us. Jesus is the high priest who sacrifices his own blood. God has done it all. God's covenant is sealed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus, God himself has become the sacrifice. And all we can do is humbly, with a repentant heart, accept the love which God longs to give us and receive the promise of forgiveness and eternal life by grace through faith. I'm going to pause there to sing a song so we can reflect on that. And then in the next part, I'll think about how this can apply to our life today. Now, all this talk of blood and sacrifices and high priests is great theology, but it's totally alien to our 21st century world. How can we make this message relevant to those we share our lives with today in the 21st century? The message is the same. God loves us and wants a relationship with us. But just as Jesus explained his message of the kingdom of God in different ways to different people, we need to do so the same. The finance agreement on my car is coming to an end. So the kind and helpful man at the garage, at the car showroom, decided to send me a video of some nice new cars. The thing is, he explained to me about the new torque settings, the three-cylinder engine, the pre-crash system, and Apple CarPlay. But all he really needed to say to me was, we've got some nice red ones. Because he hadn't met me and got to know me, he didn't know what I would look for in a new car. Now, some people will want to hear a theological explanation for Jesus' death on the cross. But many others, that will not be the primary thing they need to hear. At this point in time, they might just need to know that God loves them, that he accepts them. There's no need to fear, or that they are forgiven. We've been thinking recently about how to share our own stories of how we came to faith. But before that, we need to listen deeply to the stories of others and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as we speak to them. God says, I will be their God and they will be my people. Now, the other day, I was deleting loads of old emails and messages from my phone. There were so many, it was so full, it almost crashed and stopped working. And in the same way, God wants to delete all the junk from our lives, all the stuff that is holding us back, so that we can be free to live in perfect union, perfect relationship with God. This is what happens when we come to Jesus in repentance and faith. All the junk will be deleted. He will forgive our sins and he will remember them no more. And the passage also reminds us that when Jesus returns, he will make all things new. There will be no need to teach others about God because everyone will know him. His law will be deep within us. It will be natural to worship God with all that we are. We will be our true selves as we were created to be, in relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, his treasure possession, his beloved children, a kingdom of priests. That is the promise. That is the new covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus. The covenant we remember as we break bread and we look forward to with sure and certain hope as we drink wine. So, to put all that, to summarise all of that, what do we learn about God? God loves us. He wants us to know him. The new covenant does not depend on us remaining faithful. It depends on God's faithfulness alone. God has done it all. The cross of Jesus gives us certainty that we can be made right with God. Confidence that we can enter his presence and begin a new relationship with him, which will last beyond death into eternity. And what might God be saying to us today? Will you come to me? Receive forgiveness for your guilt, healing for your pain, restoration for your damaged life, and ultimately everlasting life in the very presence of God. As Easter approaches, in this world of uncertainty, weariness and fear, in which many people feel hopeless and out of control, let us listen to those around us and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us just how we can share these wonderful truths with them. And then we can watch God draw them into his loving embrace. Amen.